Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by our interim director of religious education, Karen LaBrocco, our intern minister, Dave Clements, and our music director, Hal Walker, as well as a host of wonderful musicians and some members of the congregation who are helping us tell a story today. And I'd like to note that there will be a change in your order of service. Cheryl Spur will be filling in for Lee Brooker. We're so glad to have the participation of all of these people and to be together for our multi-generational morning together. Multi-generational services are a wonderful opportunity for us to be worshiping as a whole community, people of all ages. And so we're so glad to have little ones and older ones all together in one community in this space this morning. And finally, today is the day that we have a celebration of the first capital campaign this congregation has conducted in many, many years. It will be during coffee hour. Everyone is invited. And right now, I have the great honor of telling you the good news that we have raised, by your pledges, over $850,000 for our capital campaign. Almost 90 people have participated as volunteers in helping make this campaign happen, so this is truly a community endeavor. And you may recall that we offered some opportunities for naming for those who wanted to designate their gift in honor of someone else. And I have four names of spaces in our new building to share with you this morning. One of the new religious education classrooms in our new fellowship hall has been designated by Brad Bolton and Christy Anderson in honor of Rebecca Haynes. And Heidi Schaefer, in collaboration with the Kearns family, has dedicated their donations for the new library and meeting room in honor of Brett Orsburn. Brett was a member of this congregation, Heidi's husband, who died several years ago. The new garden space behind the new building has been designated by Mary Lou Holly in memory of her mother and her brother. She hasn't chosen a name for sure yet, but she has a placeholder name, and that name is the Peaceable Kingdom Gardens. And there will be a walkway connecting this building to the new building with a lovely flowering trellis. And that walkway has been designated by Dave and Diana Watt in memory of Heidrun Hulgren. And finally, we are so indebted to the leaders of the Capital Campaign team who guided us, supported us, and engaged and led our congregation in this work. I don't think they're all here at this service, but those who are, will you please be recognized? Randy Leeson, David Smeltzer, Kay Ekman, Marion Yeagler, and Kathy Kearns.
Can you join me now in our unison chalice lighting? The words are found printed in your order of service. We light this chalice because we are Unitarian Universalists. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the helping hands. This is the church of the loving heart.
You have a line in our call to worship this morning. The line is, "This is the home that love made." Would you try that?
This is the home that love made.
This is the home that love made. So after every line I say, you repeat that line back to me and we'll start together. This is the home that love made. It is full of the love that the founders felt when they planned out these walls and raised the beams above us. This is the home that love made. It is full of the love of all who have worshiped here, those who have celebrated and grieved here, the babies dedicated, couples married, and family members mourned here. This is the home that love made. It is full of the love of our children as they learn and laugh together, and our youth as they grow into their own sense of purpose and meaning. This is the home that love made. It is full of the love of the staff and the lay leaders who have served this place, full of their hopes for this congregation, their hard work, and their acts of dedication. This is the home that love made. It is full of the love of the musicians, their love made so clear and the music sounding here Sunday morning after Sunday morning. This is the home that love made. It is full of our love, the love of this community, despite our differences and disagreements, the love that holds us together as a people. This is the home that love made. Can you feel it? Come, let us worship together.
I hate school!
Molly didn't like the school in Winter Hill. At Winter Hill School, they laughed at her, and that mean boy Peter and his friends made up a terrible song that they sang at her all the way home. Molly ran away to home. When she got to her apartment, she burst into tears. It was okay for her mother to see her cry.
Oh, my dear, what's the matter? What happened?
I want to go back to New York City.
Through her sobs, Molly explained how in her grade there were no other Jewish children, and how she didn't talk like the other girls, and how people make fun of her, and how she hates school, and her mother hugged her.
Oh, my poor Molly.
And once again, Mama explained how they can't go back because Papa has a good job in Mr. Brodsky's store downstairs, and Mr. Brodsky even lets us live in this nice apartment. Of course, that got Mama talking about soldiers.
Then let's go back to Russia.
Russia.
And guns. And how Jewish girls don't get to go to school at all. And that was not going to happen to Molly. And that Mama would go to school, talk to her teacher, and make the teasing stop.
Oh, no, Mama. That's fine. I'm okay.
Truth be told, Molly was embarrassed, didn't want her teacher and the other children to see her mama. The school days passed until the day in November. Her teacher, Mr. Stickley, asked the class to open their readers to page 132.
Molly, will you please begin?
Molly looked at the title.
The first. Mr. Stickley, I don't know that word.
Yes, that is a hard word, especially if you've never heard it before. Who can help her?
Peter spoke up. Thanksgiving! I thought everybody knew that.
Thanksgiving? What's Thanksgiving?
Of course, that made Peter and his friends laugh out and call out, I guess you people don't celebrate American holidays. Mr. Stickley got the class back on track, and Molly read about the Pilgrims and how they started the holiday of Thanksgiving. And he announced that in school, they would be making a model of a pilgrim's village. And for homework, everyone was supposed to make a clothespin doll, either a Native American or a pilgrim.
Welcome home, Molly. So what have you got for homework?
I need a clothespin.
Clothespin?
Mama wanted to know what kind of homework a clothespin was. And Molly had to explain that she was to make a pilgrim doll out of it. And then she had to explain what a pilgrim was. Pilgrims came to America from another country.
Why, just like us.
They came for religious freedom, Molly continued. They came so they could worship God as they please, Mama added.
Right. I've got it. Now, do you have any other homework?
Molly told her about the 10 really hard arithmetic problems. Mama told Molly to do the problems, and then she could go out and play. I'll make the doll for you tonight, and it'll be ready for you in the morning.
We pause in the midst of our story to take some time together for prayer and meditation. And so to prepare ourselves, I invite you now to put down anything that you may be holding in your hands. Make yourselves as comfortable as you can in your seat and focus on your breathing. Focusing on your breathing is a wonderful way to practice stilling yourself, to practice quieting your mind and quieting your body so that you can listen a little more closely than we often listen when we're busy rushing about doing things. So this is a time for us to practice listening, because listening is the beginning of prayer. We'll keep silence for a few moments together. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside time to widen the caring ministry of this congregation. We open our hearts this morning to include in our prayers people around the world who are suffering from violence and fleeing from violence. We send our prayers to the people of Mali and to the people of Burundi, and especially to the Unitarian Church in Burundi, which has been a target of the violence there. The minister of that congregation, Reverend Fulgence, has been arrested, and there are people around the world who are praying and working for his release. And we include in our prayers all of those who are fleeing from violence, especially the refugees from Syria. And we pray that people around the world will find a way to widen our welcome, because everybody wants to live in peace. The great Saint Francis of Assisi once counseled, "Preach the gospel. Use words if you must." This week, as we go into our days full of last-minute preparations for a time of holiday, a time that it can be filled with stress and busyness, excitement, and maybe even a little trepidation, may we remember to preach the gospel of kindness and love and generosity. Using words if we must, but practicing preaching with our actions, so that we may be the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Amen, and blessed be.
The next morning, when Molly sat down at the table for breakfast, the doll was at her place. Maybe she had started out as a clothespin, but she'd never known it to look at her. Mama had covered the clothespin with cloth and stuffing. She had made hair out of dark brown yarn, and she'd embroidered eyes, a nose, and a mouth on the face. She had dressed the doll in a long red full skirt.
"She's gorgeous, Mama. But Mama, she doesn't look like that pilgrim woman in my reading book. She looks more like that photo of you when you were a girl."
"Of course. I made it that way."
And Mama explained that since a pilgrim is someone who came from the other side to find freedom, then she certainly was a pilgrim. Now Molly was sure there was something wrong with what Mama was saying. She certainly was not the kind of pilgrim in her school book, but it was too late to make another doll now. All she could do was to take it with her to school. When she got to school, Molly put the doll away without showing anyone. Peter started asking to see her doll. She shook her head no. Peter continued, "Mr. Stickley is going to be mad at you, Molly. He doesn't like people who don't do their homework. You're going to be in big trouble. I know you didn't do it." And after several minutes of this, Molly slowly took the doll out of the bag. Peter started to laugh. "Oh, my God. How can anyone be dumb as you, Molly? That's not a pilgrim. Mr. Stickley's going to be really mad at you." Molly's face fell flat, as hot as fire. She shoved the doll back into the bag. Later that morning, when Mr. Stickley was looking at each of the dolls, Peter started talking again. "I told Molly that is not a pilgrim. That's some Russian or Polish person. What does a person like that have to do with the pilgrims?"
"Oh, she's very beautiful. Maybe Molly just doesn't understand."
"Mama said..."
Mr. Stickley ignored the laughter of Peter.
"Tell me what your mama said, Molly."
"This doll is dressed like Mama. Mama came to America for religious freedom, too. Mama says she's a pilgrim."
"Listen to me, all of you. Molly's mother is a pilgrim. She's a modern pilgrim. She came here just like the pilgrims long ago, so she could worship God in her own way, in peace and in freedom. Class, do you know where the pilgrims got their idea for Thanksgiving?"
Peter replied, "They just thought it up, Mr. Stickley."
"No, Peter. They read in the Bible about the Jewish harvest holiday of tabernacles. It's called Sukkot. The pilgrims got the idea for Thanksgiving from Jews like Molly and her mama. May I have your doll for a while, Molly?"
"Sure."
"Thank you. I'm going to put this beautiful doll on my desk where everyone can see it all the time. It will remind us all that pilgrims are still coming to America. I'd like to meet your mama, Molly. Please ask her to come see me one day after school."
On the way home, Emma told Molly that her doll was the most beautiful one of all. Molly decided if Mr. Stickley actually invited her, it was all right for Mama to come to school. She decided something else, too. It takes all kinds of pilgrims to make a Thanksgiving.
When we think about Thanksgiving, we so often think about family and the traditions we keep. I put out a note to the congregation asking if anyone had family traditions that could be symbolized in an object that we might have displayed this morning. And the Kahl Klein family wrote to me, Tanya, Kahl, and Eric Klein, and their daughters Maya and Elena. They have a tradition they keep that involves beautiful, colorful leaves, and on this table we have some, just like they do on their Thanksgiving table. And the reason they have these leaves is because Maya and Elena, who are school-age children, grew up with Thanksgiving leaves on their table. They grew up with Thanksgiving leaves on their table because their great-grandmother decided that leaves would be a beautiful way to decorate for the holiday. And so all throughout her life, when she hosted Thanksgiving, she would spend days before choosing the most beautiful leaves, and she would carefully press them in wax paper and cut them out and lay them out on the table. And then she'd put a big, clear piece of plastic over the table, and that would be their decoration. When she died, the family kept the tradition. And it has been passed down through the generations, choosing leaves, carefully pressing them, and laying them out on the table. When we think about Thanksgiving, we so often think about the stories that touch us, the symbols that speak to us in ways more profound than words. The leaves, the songs about family, the table laden with beauty and with food. When we think about Thanksgiving, these are the things we so often think. The stories we tell are so important. Stories are for teaching and for learning. Stories are for playing and imagining. Stories are for saying how we feel. Stories are for remembering what was and for imagining what will be. And perhaps above all, stories are for making meaning. The stories we tell about sisters and leaves and brothers and tables and holidays, the stories we tell shape us into who we are. So today we're telling stories about Thanksgiving for all of these reasons. So what does Thanksgiving mean? The stories we heard today tell us that Thanksgiving means relationships. It's about friends and family and the ways in which we're connected through the generations. It's about gratitude and love. This is the meaning of Thanksgiving we enact when we take the time to name our blessings before we have a feast with people we love. This is an important part of the holiday, one that so many cherish. But there's more. There's more because Thanksgiving also makes us think about history. A couple of weeks ago, I talked in church about the founding of our country. Lots of people like to tell the story about the harvest feast that the European settlers shared with the Wampanoag Indians. That's the story that Mr. Stickley was teaching his class in Molly's Pilgrim. This is often called the story of the first Thanksgiving. But long before there were the Wampanoags and the settlers having this feast and giving thanks, there were people who practiced Thanksgiving. People who practiced giving thanks for the gifts they had been given. And it wasn't until long after that moment that we call the first Thanksgiving that Abraham Lincoln officially declared Thanksgiving a holiday in this country. So even though we mostly just tell one story, the truth is that there are lots and lots of stories. Lots of stories we could tell about the history of Thanksgiving. There are lots of stories we could tell because the impulse to give is probably as old as human life. The impulse to give thanks is something that's just naturally in the heart of human lives. In the story of Molly's Pilgrim, we learn of a family's gratitude for the opportunity they have to live their lives in freedom. Barbara Cohen, the author of that story, wrote it as a real life testament to experiences that her relatives had had after World War II. They came from Europe. They fled here to find peace and safety and security. Now that was a long time ago. And our chalice, this symbol that we use, that was made during that long ago time. It was made as a symbol in that war so that anybody who held it to someone from whom they spoke a different language would immediately know that the person holding that symbol was someone they could trust, someone who would help them find their way to peace and to safety. So let us be grateful for the ones before us who helped fight against fear and hatred. And let us be grateful for the ones before us who helped lift up our common humanity. Our differences, human differences, are many, and those differences are important. But underneath the differences, there is an awful lot that is the same. In our country, we have been blessed with freedom and peace and security. So this Thanksgiving, when we remember our blessings, let's remember to include that one. And let our gratitude lead us to generosity. For right now, there are places halfway around the world that are in trouble. Once again, there are people running away from violence in search of peace and freedom and security. And once again, we are the ones who get to choose how to respond. So let us join our voices to the chorus of others who say, our country, this country, should be a welcoming place. The Mollies of today need a place where they can live in peace and security. So let our gratitude lead us to generosity. We have enough to share. Every year during our Thanksgiving service, we have communion. In our tradition, Unitarians and Universalists have long practiced communion, and when they practiced it, they were enacting unity. When we eat from the common table, we are enacting our unity with one another and with the source of life upon which we all depend. So in these baskets, we have grains from four corners of the world, north, south, east, and west. Will the children who are helping pass our bread today please come forward? As you receive a basket, please help the person next to you if needed. Select a piece of bread or a cracker that appeals to you. There are rice crackers for those who are gluten-free. And as you eat, please notice how you are connected. You are connected to other people, to this earth, to the force of life known by so many names. In this communion, we are one. Gratitude leads to generosity. We take an offering each week as an opportunity for us to be generous in response to our gratitude for the gifts that we have been given, most especially for the gifts that we have been given as part of this community, this Unitarian Universalist community, which has stood here for almost 150 years. If you are our guest this morning, we welcome your contributions. Even as we have a gift for you, there is a candle in the basket as our welcome to you. The offering will now be gratefully received.
Please join me in reciting the closing words, which you'll find in your order of service. Let us bless and keep one another. Let kindness rule in our hearts and compassion in our lives until we meet again. Amen.
May your Thanksgiving be blessed with beauty and with love, and may the blessings you find around that table lead you out to be a blessing upon the world. Go in peace.